Access number 28675 was to Eric Smith, Reel 2. Now, once you go on to this driving course, life seems to become a lot easier for you.
Oh, yes, I lay out.
You finally accepted you could drive.
So. And that was July and August, you see, and the weather was good, so I just laid out on the moors. Naffy van or Salvation Army would come up and I'd have a cup of tea and I could drive. They couldn't learn me. I wouldn't be in bragging, but they couldn't learn me anything because I could drive. One great thing about it was we did basics mechanical.
Austin, tell me about that. You were learning what? Maintenance?
Yeah, changing brakes, stripping the engine down, decoking it, as the old cars were in those days.
What's that mean?
Taking off the carbon. You take the head off the block, and of course they used to soot up a lot. You'd have to clean the head, top of the pistons and the valve, regrind the valves in. That was quite a frequent job on old cars. What they used to call decoking, decarbonisation. And that was very useful. And then they'd send you out and they'd put a blockage in it, and they were given so many minutes to find out what the blockage was, whether it was electrical or petrol. And they'd sort of little Austin 7 stripped down, and that was most useful. And then I put in for a driver mechanics course.
Hang on. Anything else? The other part about maintenance, was that were you introduced to the idea of routine checks?
Oil water and...
You know, the daily, weekly,
yes,
monthly.
Yes, oh yes.
Tell us about that.
Sort of greasing. It was all vehicles in those days had nipples on the springs and things like that. Greasing up. Check the oil and water before you ever drive the vehicle away. Tyre pressures taken regularly. General maintenance, really. That was very strict, which was good.
So you enjoyed this course?
Oh yes, I really enjoyed the driving.
Now that's when you put in
6 weeks, that was.
And when did you put anything else you were learning at that time? You were just learning to drive a lorry. You weren't actually learning how to drive an armoured vehicle.
No.
So
that was 6 weeks. Then we went on to tracks.
Right. Now when did you go on to the driver mechanic part?
In between, sort of odd afternoons during the driving practice.
Now tell me about that. What were you learning? And then we'll come to the track. What were you learning with that?
They've got a hangar, as I say, and vehicles all stripped down, which you learnt, as I say, to do change brake shoes, change a spring, general maintenance, really.
So it's just more of the same that it's done.
Now
take me through the track. How did they teach you to drive track vehicles? That is different.
You won't believe this, but after we did 6 weeks on wheels, we went on 6 weeks on tracks. To my knowledge, there were four tanks at Catterick, but none of them were all non-runners. Any tank that was a runner was doing defence of the country. They got a 1926 medium, a Matilda, which was immobile, a small Mark 6B, a little tank with a machine gun. That was immobile. The only tank that was a runner was a 1926 Vickers, medium tank. And that, when it went to the... We used to drive down to the moors. And whoever took it down, there were always two men on the back with fire extinguishers because it always caught a light. So I didn't do any tank training whatsoever. All I drove was a Bren gun carrier for 6 weeks.
Now tell me about driving the Bren gun.
Well, I enjoyed that because it was track. You had a steering wheel. As you turned left, you locked the left track, so she swung round to the right and vice versa. And we went up and down over the dells and etc. Enjoyed ourselves thoroughly. About three in the back, we all took turns at the wheel.
And what did you think of the Bren gun carrier?
Well, I thought it was quite a good vehicle. It would shed a track very easily if you weren't careful. You got to that because if you... too quickly, you get earth between the bogies and it would throw the track. But generally speaking, it was most versatile. I thought it was a wonderful little vehicle for what it was. They were all made by Fords with a V8 engine.
And any problems or difficulties in driving them?
No, none whatsoever.
So what else was happening during this time? You're not doing tanks, you're doing Bren gun
carrier. Bren gun carrier, yes.
What else is going on?
Again, drill, of course, certain periods of 45 minutes of drill in the day, general PT every day, of course, 45 minutes. But we were very, and they also did what they called nuts and may, We used to tear off to the coast to stem a so-called invasion twice a week.
Now tell me about one of those anti-invasion exercises.
We used to go out to Scarborough from Catterick, quite a long run. And we set up a Bren gun or a Vickers machine gun, which I didn't know anything about at all, and wait for the Jerrys to drop. Or come ashore. Or come ashore, yes, off Scarborough. We did that twice a week for quite a while.
And how realistic or complex were these exercises?
Quite real, yes. We often worked with infantry, South Wales Borderers we were with at one time, or else the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. Worked together and just sat in a field with a machine gun set up, etc., and keep awake at night. What I would say, it was Yorkshire, and things were tight, but often during the night, someone would, old lady or gentleman, would come up with a tray of tea for us. So we were quite well received, really. But I think generally then they knew the threat of invasion had gone by 41, but after Jerry invaded Russia.
Anything else you were doing during this month or two? Well, 12 weeks really, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, yes. Church every Sunday, of course.
What was the church parade like?
That was very strict, at Catterick particularly. At Farnborough you're allowed to wander on your own, but Catterick was a parade. You'd be paraded on the main square, inspected by an officer, marched to church, come out of church, inspected again, and then marched off. The only mistake we made, as we found out afterwards, we said we were C of E. But if we said we were Roman Catholics, there are only about half a dozen, so they didn't pray. They just walked to church on their own. So we realised we should have been Catholics. But that was very strict. But of course, band played, all that sort of business. And every Saturday was Adjutant's Parade.
What was that like?
Oh, that was with the hussars. That was very pomp and ceremony, you know. And all the rifle movements, slope and present arm, were done to the beat of the drum. Boom, boom. No word of command at all. You marched up and down, and then the adjutant would walk along and say, "What's my name?" My God, if you didn't know his name, you were on jankers. I sign the orders every day, you should know my name. But just discipline, really. They were very strict. Everything that moved, you saluted at Catterick. And if it wasn't painted, you painted it white. Broom handles, coal buckets, all white, you know. Even used to Saturday mornings was an inspection, and they would come, and these officers, and stand on chairs and feel any dust around the lamp shades and round the windows. If they found any dust or anything out of place, you'd be 7 days.
You were in huts, weren't you?
Yes. First World War Army huts.
So how clean did they expect you to get these huts?
Oh, spotless. We used to get big 14-pound tins of Ronick polish. And we had what you call bumpers, great big blocks with a handle, and you bump the floor till you could see your face in it. Friday night, everybody got two and scrubbed and cleaned, and windows and floors and ablutions, they all had to be cleaned, you know, there were these wash basins. You had to be up early in the morning if you wanted warm water, because it's only a limited amount, and if you were a bit late getting out there, you shaved and washed in cold water.
So what happens next then? You're there till what? To what month?
I was there till
September?
September. Got me leave in here, I think it was.
I just looked up, and it's October. You were there till October.
That's right.
Now, was that the end of your training then?
Yes. They sent us to Tidworth from Catterick to form up for a draft. So many drivers. Near Aldershot, Tidworth. You've probably heard of it, Perham Down. And they sent us there what they called collective training. And the only collective training we did was following a machine and picking up potatoes and putting it in a basket. We did that for about 3 weeks.
So this would be what, September, October?
October, that's right. Yeah, October.
And anything else happening at Tidworth?
Not really, no. They were very fairly lax discipline. We used to go out gardening around the... Didn't know what to do with us, really, because we were all on draft. We'd all got our overseas kit ready. Each time, of course, with convoys, I suppose, and trouble, a draft would be cancelled. stand to, you're on draft tomorrow. And then again, it says stand down, it's off. We didn't go abroad until, when did I get my last 48 hours leave I got? 3rd of November. Now, we sailed on the 11th of November.
So you were there for about a month?
About a month, yes. But now, pretty lax.
What about this potato picking? Do you remember much about that? I mean, that's an unusual...
Well, I suppose there was so short of manpower, men being called up on farm, a few land girls, and we would just pick these basket of potatoes up and then tip them into a lorry. I think it was general practice for soldiers. Soldiers did haymaking as well. We never did, but those were in England for a while.
Tough work, potato picking is hard.
Backaching a bit, but, you know, it was changed from army.
And yeah. You weren't paid for that? That was
no, that was all within the...
And what about things like, did you get the vaccinations?
Oh, yeah.
How did they affect you? Tell us about them.
The first day you joined, second day you joined, Friday we got those. They gave you the weekend to get over them.
So you didn't have them at Tidworth, you had them...
We had them at when we were called up, the day we were called up, yeah.
And what affected them?
Vaccination, that was bad. That often turned septic. And TA, I've got a list of them here somewhere. Yeah. TAB and TT.
And how did they affect you or any of them?
Only the TAB. You felt a bit dizzy for a while. One or two chaps were excused duty for a day. And one or two, I do remember that at farm, one or two, it turned septic on their arm. They had to go into dock.
Now, anything else that happened at Tidworth?
No, we just say stood to for these drafts many mornings with all your kit. Then they come round and say it's off. You go, you know, it's cancelled. But that was waiting for a convoy, I think, at the time. But we did get leave. I had 2 days leave just before we sailed.
Now, when did you sail? Tell us about this.
11th of November we sailed.
Now, what happened? Where were you going? What's happening?
Well, we didn't know where we were going because they didn't tell you for secrecy. But we went down to Tidworth Station and went to Liverpool.
And which ship did you pick up there?
The Empress of Asia.
Now, what were conditions like on the Empress of Asia?
Well, you think I'm lying, but they were awful.
In what way?
Well, we were cramped down in the hold. Terrible conditions. It was an old boat built in 1920. It creaked and groaned. We were on mess tables down right in the hold of the ship. And food was pretty diabolical, especially we're 7 weeks at sea.
So what was diabolic about it?
Well, it was mostly, why they gave it to us was fat, slimy pork and soya beans. That was the main menu. And conditions were intolerable, really. In fact, he's died now, a chap, but he said to me on many occasions, Eric, he said, the desert was awful, but the worst part of my memory was that troop ship. Water was only on for 45 minutes a day. Toilets you had to queue. Blokes bribed each other because they'd got dysentery to take their place in the queue. It really was, without any exaggeration, it was hell.
Was there much did you get seasick?
Yes, two or three times, yes.
Well, how bad was the seasick? How bad a problem was it?
Well, you felt you wanted to die.
Was awful. That bad?
Felt awful, yes. You reach and reach, and because you've got nothing to bring up. You know. About the second night that we went out into the Irish Sea, of course, from Liverpool, they do tell me that's one of the roughest, can be one of the roughest in the world. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But we were down on guard on an ammo. All the rifles and equipment was put into a locked room down below. And I was on guard one night, and this sailor came up and he said, "What's the matter, Tanky?" "Oh," I said, "I feel terrible." "I'll fix that for you," he said. And I'll never forget it. He gave me this little tot of rum and he took the skin off my throat. He said, "That'll cure your seasickness." And it did. And then we sailed. Eventually sailed out, joined a convoy, and our first stop was Freetown on the West African coast. And we were there for 4 days. And they brought coal on board.
Did you get ashore at all?
No. It was supposed to be called the White Man's Hell, wasn't it, in those days?
So what do you remember about your time in Freetown Harbour then?
Well, I suppose a convoy waited, but we were in the harbour, and these natives would come up and down on rope ladders with baskets of coal. It was the only coal burning boat in the convoy, we were told. So we spent 4 days there altogether. sort of idling our time away. Drill on the. I used to have boat drill every morning, you know, put your life belts on. And the crazy thing about it, a boat's moving and they say, stand still, you know, and you're rocking with the boat. A typical army. But we had 4 days there and then went out and joined the convoy. And the next thing, we were down crossing the equator and then round the Cape. Our first stop then was Durban. And we docked, went ashore. We were there about 5 days, I think.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, that was marvellous. The South Africans met you with a car and took you out and wined and dined you and took you out to places of interest. Went to the National Kruger Park and things. They really fated us. They did. They treated us like heroes. Marvellous 4 days in Durban. And so much so, I heard at the time and since that one of the places in the world where troop ships stopped, there were more deserters than anywhere. Half of them never got back on the boat. You couldn't blame them, I suppose. Because coming from austerity England, there they were still at peace. The Japanese hadn't declared war. It was all lit up and food was abundant. So we were really fated for 4 days there. Then we came back and changed ships.
What, at Durban?
Yes. Unfortunately, the ship we were on, the Empress of Asia, filled up with other troops that were stationed in Durban, and poor devils went straight into a prisoner of war camp in the Far East. We went on to the HMS Aronda and sailed up
Aronda.
The Aronda? Aronda. A-R-O-N-D-A. Aronda. Quite a new ship, smaller than the Empress of Asia. And we sailed up with a contingent of RAF chaps who were put ashore at Aden. We were taken off.
What were conditions like on board the Aronda?
Very good, yes.
In what way were they better?
Food was tip-top. They'd stocked up at Durban, of course. So it wasn't English rations. Food was good. Anything was available, really, for what you could afford to spend.
And would this be in December by now?
That's right, December, yeah.
And what was your route on the Aronda then?
Up through the Red Sea, really. As I say, we dropped troops off at Aden. And we were taken ashore at Aden off the ship for stretch our legs, get a bit of drill. Which made sense, I suppose. And then from there we sailed to Suez.
And which end, where did you disembark?
At Suez.
Port Suez.
Port Said, yeah.
Port Said.
Port Said, or Tewfik it was called, Port Said. Onto a train. To Abbasiyah Barracks in Cairo.
And what was going on at Abbasiyah Barracks?
Well, we got there, if I remember right, it was the middle of the night. We were bedded down in this room. And we'd only been in bed a short while when there were sort of mutterings and groans. Cool, blimey. The place was full of bugs. They were dropping off the ceiling. They were in the crevices of the wall. We wondered why all the permanent staff slept outside. Anyway, next morning we got up. Everybody got great lumps and bites from these bugs. And we go down and have a sick parade. Don't worry about them, he said. Within a few days you'll be in the Western Desert. You'll have more than bugs to worry about. The main thing on parade, the first thing on parade, would those take one pace forward who've lost their false teeth? Because they're older men now, men of 30 or more, got false teeth, and they've gone over the side with a seasickness. So they couldn't be sent up the desert to eat hard tack, biscuits and bully beef without good teeth. So they all went on dental parade.
There actually were several of them had lost them.
Oh, yeah, quite a few. And going around the Cape, you see, the steering went on the boat and she floundered. So that's when everybody was seasick again.
Now, what were you doing at Abbasiyah? This is still December, is it? 41?
Yes, December. We got to Egypt on the 2nd of January.
Oh, right. So it's January 42.
January, 2nd of January 42. And then they sorted you out to what you were, drivers, radio operators, gunners, and sort of went through you and asked you what you knew and if you wanted a refresher course. So they gave me a big old six-wheel Morris commercial And we drove round the holy city, the dead city, all around Cairo for more driving experience, which I quite enjoyed then. We had about a week at Abbasia Barracks.
Just driving about
in a
truck.
Just filling in time, yes.
Now, what about the climate? How were you taken with the Egyptian climate?
Well, we got on quite well, if I remember rightly, yes.
How did you find it?
Desert day was bad because we in a tank with the heat.
That's later, but I mean, yeah. Just when you first got
first
there.
Got there, I can't think it worried us at all. No, we were in khaki drill. The only thing I did at Abbasia Barracks, they'd captured two German generals in the November, Schmidt and Ravenstein, and we did a guard on them.
Now, what do you remember of that?
Well, you were detailed. We were given, we didn't know it, but they gave us one morning, they gave us rifle drill. And the NCO walked down the ranks, right, you, about a dozen of us. You're quite good on the rifle. Like, fall in. And we were given more rifle drill and then did a guard on these two German generals. And we used to have, they had a veranda where they were in, these Germans. And we used to have to march up and down, stamp your feet. And they used to grumble if we weren't doing drill properly. That was the Jerry's. So we did that several times before we went up the blue, as they called it, the desert. Anyway.
Did you get out into Cairo at all?
Oh, yes, had a few visits.
There was what did you do in Cairo?
Well, mostly, I did have a trip in the zoo, which, strangely enough, wasn't too high. It didn't smell too much. Yeah, we had a trip to the zoo. We did the bazaar. We did the museum, which was great interest. General speaking, yes, we had quite a...
You didn't get to the pyramids?
Yes, well, we were stationed on the doorstep of the pyramids.
That's later?
Yeah.
Well, when? Then or later?
A bit later, yes.
Okay. So, were you still not drinking?
No, I wasn't drinking, no. Now, they laughed at me in the arm because they said, "What do you drink, Smudger?" And I said, "Well, all I've ever drunk is milk." And that was true. So you might say they took the mickey out of me.
Were you tempted to start or...?
No. Nor smoke. Never smoked in my life. Few behind the school shed, but never.
But you were with all the rest of them. Most of them, did most of them drink?
Oh yes, good drinkers, yes.
And you never tempted to
I never drank, no. Never bothered me. Only tea. I was quite happy.
So what happens next then?
Well, we had to say about a week at Abbasia, and then they got us on parade and said you're going to this regiment or that regiment. And we went to the 4th Armoured Brigade, which also is still in being in Iraq, or has been. The three regiments in the 4th Armoured Brigade was the 3rd Tank Regiment, the 5th Tank Regiment, and the 8th Hussars.
And which were you?
5th Tanks. Jumped in the back of a lorry and went up to this tented camp just outside the pyramids. A little place called Beni Yusuf, tented, and a long bench for washing and so forth, cold water taps on it.
And what was your reception from them? You know, because you were a new lad joining.
Well,
they were regulars, you were a conscript.
A few conscripts, of course. They'd had casualties over the last 2 or 3 years, but they were pretty well received. Some of them said, well, we don't really want you lot, but you're a necessity. But most of them were very, very, very good. Regular NCOs, I couldn't fault in any way. But on reception, we jumped out the lorry and they said, right, you've got to parade to the a major. You may have heard of him. He finished up Sir Richard Ward, governor of Hong Kong, I think, at one time. He was only a major in charge of the squadron when I joined them. A stickler for discipline and fighting the enemy. That was his kill. He used to say, we're going into action soon and your main objective is to engage, attack and destroy before he destroys you.
Now, what was he like? So what was he? He's a lieutenant then, was he?
Major.
Major Richard Ward.
Richard Ward.
And what was he like?
Very strict. Hard man.
So was he not popular?
Not very. 100% would agree with me. A comrade I ring each week, he always says, don't talk about Dickie Ward, it sends horrors down my spine. He was a stickler.
Over the top stickler.
Yeah, and when we joined, of course, we lined up outside his hut, and you went in, saluted, sit down. So you look at your papers, etc. Oh, you're a driver? I said, yes, sir. What tanks have you driven? I said, I've never driven a tank. What? Got down here, driver mechanic, passed, he said. I told him the same stories I've just told you. That I, there were no tanks to drive. They were no non-runners. Right, he said, you'll be on transport. He pushed me outside. He said, report to Sergeant James. So I go out and see Sergeant James. Oh, yes, he said. Well, we go out to see what you're like. We'll give you a drive. Went down to Cairo. Came back. Yeah, you're fine, he said. Here you are. Take over that truck. It was a 3-ton Chevrolet ammunition truck. So the first 8 months of the campaign, I drove an ammo truck. Till September. And I blotted my copybook.
Oh, well, hang on. So, now, what was the Chevrolet truck like?
Canadian. Metal body. Very, very, very good. Very good. Reliable.
And what weight was it, Chevrolet?
Well, we would call it a 3-tonner, but I don't know what the army called it, but it carried quite a bit of ammunition.
So it was just known as a Chevrolet truck.
Chevrolet, truck, yeah. 4x4, front-wheel drive, four-wheel drive. Very good truck. Of course, like Vauxhall, GM, General Motors lorry, but made in Canada. Excellent product.
Any problems with it?
None at all.
Now, so this is still the early days. Now, which squadron were you in?
A squadron. Reconnaissance squadron then. When I joined them, they were getting the first heavy tanks. They were getting American Grants with a 75mm gun on them, which previous to that, they only had a 2-pounder.
Now, I know you weren't driving them, but what was the reputation of the Grant?
Very good. They liked the Grants, yes.
Now, why? What was good about it?
Well, they got a good gun, very reliable. Overall, marvellous. They had rubber tracks, which was apparently great. I never drove one, not until later in the war. But their performance and a decent gun that you could knock out an anti-tank gun.
Which gun was it again?
75mm. And they had two machine guns and a 37mm in the turret at top. The only thing against it was a sporran gun. So it had a limited... So if
by you, sporran you mean?
Just a limited that way and that way.
On the side of the
tank. On the front of the tank, but very manoeuvre. Just left or right, very small. So if the target, you sometimes have to sort of move the tank to get the gun on the target.
And what about the armour? Was that good?
That was better, yes. Yeah, much better than the British.
And the engine? Reliability?
Yeah, they were aero engines, 9-cylinder aircraft engine, of course. Wright Cyclone, I think. The only thing about it was a radial engine, and all the oil drops. So in the morning, you had to crank it 42 times to get the oil moving around. Otherwise, the engine would blow up if you started straight away.
When you get onto it.
Yeah.